You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You're listening to the world's smartest podcast network.
When I go to Sacramento, I will pump up Sacramento. Sacramento.
Some say the news is fake. Others say it's real. These two don't have the time to check. Instead, Turner Sparks and Michael Ira Kaplan turn to comics stationed around the globe to be their eyewitness reporters so that you can know what's really going on. This is Lost in America.
All right, everybody, welcome to Lost in America, episode 222. My name's Turner Sparks.
I am Michelle Kaplan.
Ooh-hoo-hoo!
Captain America, you can find me at, yes.
You can find me at turnersparks.com. Buy my album, Turner Sparks Live from the Friars Club. You can find Michelle Kaplan at Captain America on Instagram. This show is at lostinamericapod.com, lostinamericapod on Instagram. Kaplan on the show today. We have Adrian Arnoux joining us.
Ooh, and your accents are amazing.
I mean, I just, you know, I have a feel for it, and I just test it out. I don't ask the guest ever in advance how to pronounce. I just have it, and I do it. So Adrian will be with us in just a second. You can hear him there. But we're talking about Sarkozy, the last, remember before Macron, there was this whole other guy. It was also cool.
France is not a, they've had other leaders. So this guy got a little trouble
like,
recently.
They have interesting
elections.
Marital lives and elections. Yeah, they've had, so Sarkozy was the last generation. He was a real, what were we? I don't know. What was the previous generation?
Aughts? The aughts? I don't know what you're going for here.
I guess that's it. Anyway, he was that generation's French leader. And he got arrested and sentenced, I believe, to some amount of years in prison, which they're going to let him wear an ankle brace. I don't know why. We're going to get to it in just a minute. But before we get to that, Kaplan, this show is 100% free. Every single week, we don't charge anyone anything for this show.
Ridiculous.
We're actually really bad businessmen in that sense.
Terrible. We're giving it away for free. So why would they pay us?
My parents, they're like, are you making money at this thing? And I'm like, you know, they go, well, if you don't charge anyone anything, you're never going to make. And I say, you know what? That is a good point. So here's what we came up with. We do three extra shows a week on Patreon. It's just you and me, Kaplan. We talk about, everything's going on in our lives and your life. You're running for city council in New York City. That's ramping up. We're figuring out what competitors of yours we need to take down. Lamer Van Bramer being one.
I've hired some people from Sarkozy's team to help me with my campaign, so hopefully there's some good people.
A little shell game action going on, maybe some funding coming from
some funding.
Middle East dictators, if we
Middle
will.
Eastern, I'm open to all dictators, and dictators can find us on Patreon.
Yes.
That's how you donate.
$5 a month, dictators can listen to us three times a week. Even if you're not a dictator, we will allow you to listen. But dictators encourage, because they usually have more money. So,
yeah.
Go to patreon.com/lostinamerica, and kick in $5 a month, you get this show plus three extra shows a week, comedy shows, Full Throttle comedy podcast. And then for $10 a month, you get a Lost in America number one in Armenia t-shirt. Look Kaplan at this shirt. Showing it in the video. Yes. We went to number one in Armenia. We made t-shirts to celebrate. Shout out Look to our this. Newest Patreon subscriber, Sam Michael, my buddy out in China. Sam Michael is a $10 subscriber.
He's I'm giving him this shirt. This shirt's coming off my back. And I'm sending the mail to Sam Michael immediately. I'm gonna autograph it.
That's how we save money. Tell our accountants. We're not selling new shirts. We're just using the ones we already wear.
I'll wash it first. Don't worry.
Sign it.
I'll sign it. I'll wash it, then sign it. And
so that's how
you
support this show. We don't have sponsors this week.
Not this week.
Cereal company, who we will not mention, has decided not to sponsor us this week. They were in last week. We don't know what happened. We're still waiting by the phone on them.
We're waiting,
but until then,
waiting,
we're waiting on
bated
you. You public, with general public. Joe Q public, I think they call him, Kaplan.
And any other buddy who wants to sponsor us, we're waiting for you too. So anybody, any you run a corporation out there and you say, "What do I need to get on a hit podcast with an international audience?" Come
if you
to us.
Own Apple or Microsoft or one of these, $5
Coca-Cola.
A month.
Who? Yeah, Coca-Cola, anybody who wants to sponsor us, we're here. We're here to take your money.
We're still here. Kat, let's get to today's episode.
Yes, what do we got?
So, I don't know if I'm pronouncing this correctly, but Nicolas Sarkozy.
Sarkozy.
Was from 2007 to 2012, president of France. Our buddies over there in France. It seems like he had some corruption issues along the way. Maybe they didn't come out till after he got out of office. I'm not exactly sure. But then this is what I know about it.
Yeah.
I knew absolutely nothing until about 2 weeks or maybe a week ago, 10 days ago, when there was this headline in the paper that said, "Oh, Sarkozy's convicted of crimes." And I was like, "What?"
Let me tell you how little I knew about it. I saw a headline in the paper that said former French president convicted of crimes. And I thought, we finally got our revenge on that guy Chirac for not supporting us in Iraq and starting the whole Freedom Fries revolution. And I knew the whole time that he was taking money, Iraqi oil money or something. So maybe he was right, but I knew he had a crooked intention. So I said, we got him. Finally, he's corrupt. See, and then I read on. I found out Hollande Chirac doesn't live anymore. He's apparently passed away a couple years ago. And I saw Sarkozy was convicted. I saw there was that he was saying it was a witch hunt. I saw that his people were saying we don't trust the system anymore. It sounded very familiar to me. Sounded very much like what's going on over here. So, but I didn't even know he was on trial. I didn't know anything either.
And then I looked it up. He's been on trial for like 8 years, apparently. We just get the headlines. We don't care.
I mean, France
in America, they don't tell us about trials. They don't bother us with the details. They just tell us when it actually hits.
The French think they're very important in the world, right? They're one of the great world European countries.
I think they are too.
We go to Paris. My wife
loves Paris. We're doing this podcast.
My daughter wants to go to Paris like now. It's like her only place she wants to go in the world.
Oh, yeah.
But we as Americans don't get French news. So we had no idea.
American women love France, but they don't love the news. They love
they don't.
Just pictures of the Eiffel Tower.
But I knew Sarkozy because I'm like an American woman at heart. I knew he was married to Carla Bruni. That was a big celebrity couple.
Oh, that's why everyone. Yeah, yeah.
That's how I knew who he was.
But I didn't know I didn't know he had different politics. I didn't know Macron and him. I barely knew they were different people. So we're going to
They sort of blend together into one person if you don't think about it too much.
Adrian, our new, is our guest. You guys, you can check him out. Hilarious comedian out of Paris. You can check him out at Adrian, our new comedy. ADRIENARNOUX comedy.
Yes, that's it.
On all social media, including Instagram. Welcome to the show, man. How you doing?
Thanks. I'm good. Doing great.
How did we do there?
Yeah, what are we talking about?
That was pretty accurate, actually.
Ooh.
Basically, I don't know. Do you want a rundown of what I know?
Yeah, so when did you know? Because we found out that he was on trial last
After
Tuesday.
He was convicted.
When did all this corruption stuff start? With Sarkozy?
Probably the 90s, honestly.
Yeah.
There's a billion charges against him. There's like several trials coming up that have nothing to do with each other. And the one thing he got condemned for is basically he was just trying to get information on another case that was already like against him that people were already working on. So that's why he lost. The trial he lost was about that. Like he was trying to get information that he was not like allowed to get about like what was going to happen with his judgment on another case.
So. Yeah. And is that the, we forgot even to mention this, Muammar, whatever, Gaddafi is involved in this whole thing.
Yeah, exactly.
The Libyan dictator, shout out.
Yeah, because Gaddafi apparently financed a lot of his presidential campaign. And then, you know, France is like almost directly responsible for the death of Gaddafi. Like, we were like right there when the Arab Spring happened. It feels like Gaddafi was the guy we put in place, and then we got rid of him when we, you know, were sick of him. Sarkozy like pretty much betrayed him. But yeah, he.
So Gaddafi's the more ethical one in this.
Well,
he betrayed a dictator who.
Well, so going back to the '90s, you said it goes back to the '90s. He didn't become president till 2007. So he.
Yeah.
What was he before?
He was the mayor. He was the mayor of the city that he pretty much grew up in, Neuilly. And because I'm like 35, so I started seeing him on TV. I was like, yeah, 95, 94. He was like the right hand to Chirac's rival, actually, Balladur.
Yeah.
He was super young. He was like in the 20s or 30s or something, probably 30s. So that's when I started, hearing about him. He became like, you know, because politics is like showbiz. So he became like, you know, the guys. And
he's
then
moving up and moving up.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And then he tried a bunch of things. He had a bunch of ups and downs. And by the time, by I think 2002 or three, he was like Ministry of Interior, I guess, Minister of Interior. Mm-hmm. Where, so he was like the cop's boss for. I don't know, 4 to 5 years before he was even elected president, he was like, you know, in the government already.
The head of police, you say? The cop.
So, politician for a long time at this point.
He had been a politician for a long time. So, as you say, he was the head of police, something like that?
Ministry of Interior. I don't know if you have that. That's basically like who the guys who run police
department. I think that's right, Kaplan. We have, right? Something like that.
Yeah, I mean, and that's your classic corrupt job. Like every head of the police is, I mean, at the top, you got.
Yeah, it's almost illegal not to be corrupt in that
a little
position.
Bit.
Before he was president, he was kind of known as like the Giuliani of fucking France. Like,
cleaned up.
He did that. He made everybody like, you know, he like reignited like racial tensions that were kind of, you know,
made the homeless disappear too.
Did he do that? I don't think he did that. Or maybe for like a like specific event, but he wouldn't be the only one. I think Switzerland does that shit a lot. But anyway, yeah, he's just kind of a crook, you know, like, a, you know, your average sociopath. That, you know, that's who gets in power. I mean, you know, everybody knows that.
Generally.
So what was his, when he ran in 2007, he ran on kind of like a law and order, anti-immigration
absolutely
campaign, right?
Yes, yes, yes. And the impact of this is still felt to this day, where he like reignited, you know, he made it feel okay for like non-officially far-right people to still be openly racist, basically.
Oh.
And not vote for the far-right party, but still be like, you know, minorities. Which we call, how would you translate the racisme décomplexé, which is like openly racist without giving a fuck, I guess.
That's a term in French?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Decomplexed racism. Like, yeah. Yeah, I hate him.
Racist. We have a term for that, too. It's called Karens in America.
Oh, yeah. Well, we do. I don't think we have an equivalent to Karens. I think
or NIMBY,
great.
Kaplan. NIMBY's the new one you taught me, which is not in my backyard, people.
Yeah, that's...
Where they want everything to be fine. They want everyone to be
like for
equal,
like super liberal people who just don't want it around their house. Yeah, exactly.
So, okay. So he was running as like a moderate right-wing person, right?
Pretty much, yes.
Yeah, and he won, and not only did he win, but he kind of like divorced his wife and then got this new...
right, he got married while in office, right? He married...
Exactly, yeah, you know your shit, see?
That's a big... That's a big we could never... That's why we're fascinated by it, because in America never happened.
Don't misunderstand, Adrian. That's the one fact that all Americans know about him, is that he married...
Yeah, because she was famous too, so
Carla Bruni. We don't have kings and queens, so we worship celebrities.
Exactly. She had sex with Mick Jagger prior to
We worship anyone who's had sex with Mick Jagger. So a lot of women we worship in this country. A lot of women.
And so yeah,
International
was like
Women's Day.
She was must have been like 50 years younger than Mick Jagger, by the way. Right?
Probably 30 years. My estimate would be 30. Yeah. Okay. I have to look it up. Well, she's not that young.
Do you think Mick Jagger had sex with women his own age? I mean, not
to... Well, there's documentaries that I think it's called Cocksucker Blues. That's pretty much he never want Mick Jagger does not want. I mean, they don't want this shit out because it's pretty much them having sex with like underage people. From what I gather, in the '70s they were doing all kinds of weird shit.
'70s, yeah,
Jesus.
And for some reason, it was filmed for a documentary, and that shit's never coming out. I guess.
I would imagine. Yeah, whoever made that documentary is going to get a lot of money to not put out that documentary.
The Libyan government produced that documentary.
So, so Sarkozy gets okay. So, 2007, he's the president. Somehow, he wins. Does he?
Yep.
Why were people at that time? Why would they vote for that kind of a thing?
I think who was running against him? I think it was a woman called Ségolène Royal. They were pretty close. And then what happens in France is like two instances where you go vote. Premier tour, which is like everybody, and then deuxième tour, which is like second round, where it's like just the last the two, you know.
We have.
And so it was Ségolène Royal and Nicolas Sarkozy, and there's a debate like a week before. There's a debate like that's the French tradition of like right before you elect your president, there's like a debate between the two.
Yes.
Where they kind of, you know, like. Weave their PR stuff. I mean, these people have been trained anyway. And she made a complete ass out of herself by just getting mad over some stupid shit from what I remember. And he appeared, even though he's like a kind of, you know, pretty spastic dude and known as such, he appeared like the, you know, chill one. And I think that's when he actually won, like when his, you know, his opponent just lost to shit for, you know, over not much. And he took it as an opportunity to, you know, cross his arms and be like, all right, calm down. You know,
and this is the person you want running your country.
Like, and I think that's pretty much verbatim what he said. And and then he won, you know. And yeah, he had a lot of people like backing him, the youth. Like I remember because I was like 21, I think, at the time, and it was like, you know, sad to see that half of my friends were kind of, you know, into him.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And he's like, I mean, I'm kind of like from like a upper middle class type scenario. So, and he's like a very like super capitalist, you know, guy. And I guess that was speaking to a lot of, you know, young people who come from rich families and want to like, you know, expand the dynasty and start their own businesses and, you know, the whole like culture of like, entrepreneurs and shit. Like he was waving that flag, so that spoke to a lot of young people too, and who didn't see the whole like, you know, bigotry behind him. Anyway, I guess.
Yeah,
France had had a lot of left leaning governments before him, though, right?
There's a big one that from like 81 to 95, it was a socialist government, but they were like, you know, not really socialist. Yeah, you know what I mean, like. They disappointed a lot of people and they were super corrupt and did some really fucked up shit, even like some sexual stuff. So yeah, everybody was disappointed.
Mick Jagger. They all had sex with Mick Jagger.
Mick Jagger was actually the president of France.
Some weird Epstein like type stuff, I guess. Oh, and
but I just thought that was legal in France, not to go off on it.
Nah, I mean, I wish it was less legal, I guess. so where was I?
Go ahead.
It was a socialist country for a while, but not really. Like, it was still pretty capitalist, and it was more like you know, how do we call that? The caviar left, which means you're on the left, but you're rich as fuck and you're a capitalist. Right.
It's like limousine liberals. We call
limousine liberals is the term. I like caviar left. That's great.
That's better. That's very French.
And so, okay. And so then, do you guys have though? Is it true you have a 35-hour work week, or is that gone?
I mean, it's the legal requirement, I guess. There's a lot of ways to, you know, get around it. If you can still work overtime and get paid, like it's not super strict. And And when that thing passed, I was like way too young to give a shit about politics. So I don't really understand why. Because I was like 16, I think, when they.
Yeah, you don't know work week. Who knows what that even means?
I mean, we don't have work weeks anymore now that the new economy.
Does that even mean anything at this point? Like,
yeah.
You know, most people I know who have like a real job, you know, they're on like constant, you know, your boss can call you on Sunday and you have to answer. Like,
it's like here.
Yeah. So, but yeah, I mean, I guess it like feeds the cliche of like French people are lazy.
Yeah. Well, those are the other headlines. The only headlines we get is either your president marries a pop star or like, see, look how lazy they are. They don't want to do this. They don't work like this many hours and that kind of stuff.
It's not about laziness. It's like the system's in place that, you know, that the consequences, like maybe we don't have to work that much because the economy is kind of working out without us doing so. And, you know, we could talk about how like performing artists in France can collect unemployment. That's why I'm not dead right now.
Yeah.
But you obviously you tell that to an American comic and they'll be like, you're a fucking communist, dude. Like, I mean, this is. Or like,
well, we can now.
We can now.
You can. Oh, that's great.
Just because of the pandemic, though.
Yeah, only because of the pandemic. And previously, self-employed people could not collect unemployment in America. So up until this, any self-employed, meaning you're an artist, a comedian, driver, a musician, but also if you just like own a store, you know. But now we can, but we get way less than the average person would get who works at a company.
Yeah, see, the way we get paid mostly it's a salary, so it's a company paying us. When you're doing like a real comedy club or an opening gig, it's like the production company, like the touring company pays you, I guess, or the comedy club, and it's like you're like a salary. So it's a legal thing in this paperwork. And
so if you play at a comedy club, you're a staff, you're basically treated as like a staff member, like you work for that club?
Now you get some sort of like performing fee that you can then collect. And there's this specific thing for performing artists where they could be like, you perform like this many times. So now you can collect this much. And it's pretty cool. And then you could go, French comics have it better. And you guys are lazy and you don't want to sleep in your car for 10 years to get there. And I'm like, yeah, well, different countries are fucking different.
I mean, I don't know anyone. I think people probably used to say that when it was all theoretical, like a year or two ago. And now that it's real, I don't know any American comedian would have to be a complete moron to be like, yeah, but we're tougher because we don't make any money. That's the stupidest.
Well, I do think it makes comedy in the US better that you don't become famous after 2 years, you know what I mean? Which can happen in France. Like it's a different market. Like when you show up and you have like a tight 5 minutes, they see it as like you're an R&B singer and you have a good single and then let's make the album like right away. You know, let's do an hour now.
Oh wow.
And the French audience isn't really difficult. So it can actually work out. But the quality of the material is not, you know, really that great.
I mean, so, that's what it was like here in the 70s, you know, like when Seinfeld and all those guys were going on Johnny Carson, they would have like Seinfeld had an act. So he could do 5 minutes on Carson and then do an hour on the road. But 90% of them couldn't. They would do 5 minutes on Carson and then get booked to do an hour on the road and just bomb, 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 bomb.
Yeah,
and you know, by the mid-80s, it was over.
Yeah, and France is late. Like it's always like 10 to 20 years late to anything that's happening in the States in a lot of ways. So now we're past the 80s as far as like French comedy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And we're starting to get a little more like, you know, this is real comedy clubs now. Super recent, like 4 comedy clubs opened in Paris, like right before the pandemic. Kind of.
Oh, really?
Kinda, good yeah, time. Yeah. Like,
are they still around?
Yeah. I guess they'll be fine. You know, I guess they got like insurance or some shit.
So what happened? Just sticking on comedy for a second. How did it? Because I was living in China for the first 6 years of my comedy career, and comedy started happening around Asia because podcasts started booming, like the late, like 2008, 2009, 2010, 2007. Yeah. Podcasts started booming, and then everyone was listening to those, Mark Maron and everybody, and then started doing startup like little scenes. But I imagine you guys were before that, right?
Well, let me think. I do you want a history of French comedy?
No, just a quick one, then we'll get back to
I could do it.
Yeah. Just interesting.
So yeah, it's pretty similar to, but mostly like, it's, you know, different steps. Like, yeah, podcast kind of helped with that. I created like a small group of people that would meet, like, you know, in big French cities, but not enough that it could really be a thing that the press could talk about or anything. But then, yeah, podcast helped. I think Netflix was huge. That's really when it happened and when it really hit. And then there's like on YouTube, there's a French comedy channel. Because there's a festival in Switzerland called the Montreux Comedy Festival. And they just film everything and then they put everything online. So, and that channel got really successful really quickly.
Because it was French language stand-up online that you could watch easily.
Yeah, and it's so much like from years and years, and you can kind of binge watch it and like put on shuffle if you want. And that's how people saw my stuff, you know? That's how when you were saying, like, you know, back in your day, I mean, in the 80s, you would do Letterman and then people would know who you are.
Turner's day.
Yeah, my day.
Yeah, not your day, not your country. Yeah.
In America.
Yeah. Well, that can kind of happen now with this channel, like this similar thing where you have a successful bit on YouTube and all of a sudden people recognize you in the streets and shit.
That's awesome.
I got a very, very mild version of that. I can still take the metro or whatever. But some of my friends got really like, went viral with it, and cool. that's how it evolved. But the way it really started, it was around like 2007. Someone just had the idea of, you know, because before that it was mostly like, you know, wigs and characters and shit.
You find that same thing around the world. A lot of people say, yeah, oh, we had comedy, but it was people doing characters and playing a banjo and with a clown suit, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, that slowly died. But in 2007, someone had the idea of pretty much bringing like a deaf comedy jam type show, but like a French version of that with like, it wouldn't be African American, so it would be like people from Algeria and Morocco and you know, Africa, but like African immigrants, you know, to France, and that was called Jamel Comedy Club.
Wow.
And that's the first time that French people, you know, for the most part, heard about like stand up comedy.
Yeah.
And it was. It was kind of misguiding for a while because it was a very specific type of comedy, you know, deaf comedy jam type, sure, where it's like very, you know, very like showy, very energetic, and you know, you dance when you people literally like dance as
the
they go on stage.
Punchline and then like spin, do a spin move.
Nah, before the bit, like you walk up and you like,
dance your way onto the stage. Yeah, yeah, that's what deaf
comedy entrance. Spin on your head,
like Bernie Mac and stuff. Yeah,
and which is cool. I mean, you know, it was a fun way to like, you know, introduce stand-up comedy to France, and that's pretty much where it started being a thing, stand-up comedy, and then right now, like, yeah, like 2019 or 20, there's like 4 comedy clubs in Paris.
That's great.
Legally and shit. That's pretty cool.
That's great, man. So okay, back to Sarkozy. Because from what we read, it seemed like everyone kind of found out about his. It seems like the Gaddafi thing is like the root of these problems that are existing today. Maybe it's that he took money from Gaddafi in 2007, allegedly. Nothing's been proven yet, but he took it allegedly to fund his campaign, which is insane to take money.
Do you know in 2007 he had Gaddafi in Paris, and Gaddafi like he set his tent on the Elysee Garden, which is like the White House. He had Gaddafi royal guest, like, welcome Gaddafi here.
So
you can, you can
like
sleep
allies?
Well, remember,
were
we
friends?
Made well,
they
we
were
made
definitely a, doing business together.
Yeah. Oh. But we made it, remember, because in the 2000s the US like made a deal with Libya where we like said they weren't terrorists anymore briefly. Remember that? Because they stopped making their weapons of mass destruction. This was like the, do you remember? So I remember it must have created an opening where it wasn't as outrageous to have Gaddafi there.
Okay.
But he did he did blow up a plane that killed a lot of Syracuse students, for instance, in the 80s. So he's not a good guy to be hanging out with, stolen the garden. But did he And that's actually worse than anything. Like, Trump didn't, like, the Putin didn't actually give money to Trump's campaign. Can you imagine the
Putin? Oh, Trump. Yeah, yeah.
No, I'm saying, like this is even crazier if you think about it. That if it's
this
true.
Is completely bizarre. Yeah. Well, what did people think at the time? Was it seen as crazy at the time that he was even hanging out with Gaddafi, or was that pretty normal?
Yeah.
Well, you know, the general feeling that politicians are fucking, you know, garbage people. I think it's like worldwide. Like, it's not like yeah. a French thing. So, yeah. And there's like a, you know, a datedness about it, which is sad, but it was like different. He had supporters. So he had, and even to this day, he has like fans and people who, but yeah, for the most part, like anyone who didn't vote for him was like, yeah, fuck this guy anyway. And he probably did it and it's wrong. But, you know, there's not a lot of things you can, there's not a lot of shit you can do as a citizen to except be like, all right, yeah, you're having a dictator on your lawn. Like literally, but the assumption that everybody was corrupt was already there. Like it didn't create a new thing. Like I said, the socialist government that was in place in the 80s and 90s did a lot of, you know, fucked up shit too. I think we're at this point, people were already jaded, like they are now.
He possibly takes this money, which hasn't been proven yet, but it seems like probably, I guess. And then that comes out. Gaddafi's the one who outs him in 2011, right?
Right before he dies or something? Like he's.
Gaddafi. Oh, I didn't know that. Did you read that?
That's what we read through research. Yeah, the way this came out is Gaddafi himself said, "Oh, I funded Sarkozy."
And I think by this point, he was probably on a lot of drugs. I don't know if you remember, like, the last days of Gaddafi, he seemed so fucked up.
Yeah, he was going out with a bang, for sure.
He seemed like a crazy person.
Yeah,
he was a tough person to tell if he's on drugs, though, that kind of guy, if I remember. He was just very...
He was, like, sweaty and weird looking. Out.
And he had those... Didn't he have, like, girls? He had, like, a whole gang of women soldiers.
That's true.
Yeah, that was wild.
I remember that.
They were making a documentary. That's No.
So, so then Gaddafi's like, because I think Sarkozy, as you mentioned earlier, Sarkozy was, France was basically responsible for going in and getting Gaddafi. And then they got the UK and possibly us, I guess.
We were involved. Yeah.
And, but France was spearheading it. You guys were the ones that were on top of it. Like, let's go get Gaddafi. And so then Gaddafi was obviously pissed because he's like, hey, I just put this guy in office and now he's coming after me. And
yeah, it sounds like movie worthy. Like it's like
it's wild,
crazy. But
no, imagine us. Yesterday, I just started researching. Like, all right, so why is Sarkozy? Why is he possibly going to prison or house arrest? And then Gaddafi's involved, and then it's like.
But Sarkozy, was he still the president during the Libyan civil war? I forget.
Yes, he was.
So he turned because the war he didn't obviously start it, but I guess he realized I got to get on the right side of history.
He finished.
Well, we were.
I don't know what convenience he got out of getting rid of him. I think maybe he got rid of him to, you know, maybe possibly hide the fact that Gaddafi financed the campaign. Like he was trying to silence him. Maybe like, all right, you know, Gaddafi's people are turning against him. Well, I'm going to get on this, you know, so he won't rat me out. And I guess, as you said, he probably already did.
Yeah. Dead don't talk, as they say. Right? So it comes out and he obviously is saying like, well, why are you going to trust these people? You know, this is Gaddafi and criminals who are claiming this against me. But then the French police, whoever decides to start wiretapping Sarkozy because of this investigation. So they put a tap on his phone so they can listen into his phone conversations.
And because not just because of this investigation, because of another case where he was, where his name is in from the 90s. Apparently he was working with a guy who sold weapons to fucking, I don't know, man. I'm not qualified to talk about politics.
No, just whatever you basically know.
Yeah.
We talk to comedians every week.
This is what we do. You think we're qualified to talk politics? Yeah.
Just remember, you're talking to people who know nothing about this story.
And believe me, our audience, a bunch of dummies. They're not, they don't difference.
You just, can't find just say it with authority.
Yeah.
Yeah, so basically he had something to do with illegal arms sale in the 90s, and that's Jesus. I think that's why he was wiretapped, and also the Gaddafi thing, and he also has a lot of enemies, you know, in the French government.
Yeah.
Even though now a lot of his enemies now are like, oh my, since he got, you know, the sentence, like even his enemies are like, oh my God, people are hard on him. Cause they've all done some shit.
Right. So it could come for them. Precedent. It could turn. Yeah.
Yeah. And they're like, whoa, are we going to really start going to jail now? Like, fuck that.
Well, that's the thing.
But he's not going to jail. I mean, let's be honest. There's no way he's going to.
I know. Yeah. So I guess they say he's not going to jail.
House arrest.
He got a 3-year prison sentence. 2 years of those were just thrown out immediately.
Suspended,
which means, okay, don't worry about it. And then the third year, they put a bracelet around his ankle. That's kind of the decision, right?
No, they might.
They might. Yeah.
Well, he's going to sit around while Carla Bruni plays music all day. And these other guys, though, their wives might not be as lovely, and they don't want to be house arrest.
Well, first of all, he appealed immediately. So technically, like, the sentence isn't really, like,
okay,
doesn't really exist anymore. Like, there's going to be another trial next year because there was no real mandate to incarcerate him, from what I understand. So
yeah,
it was, and those people never go to jail. I mean, that at least in my lifetime, I have not seen like such high ranking people serving hard time. Like, seems very unlikely. And even the bracelet thing is like, yeah, but he's going to like try to weave himself out of it in any way he can. He's got access to the best lawyers in the country. So there's a lot.
The general feeling among the French people, that's why it's maybe not such a big deal, is that nobody thinks he's not going to jail, right?
Well, is this a big deal in France or not?
Well, I mean, the way the news looks and the title, I mean, it is pretty like, it's never happened before.
Yeah.
And he wants to come back in 2022, which next year we have a presidential election. So he kind of wants to come back, even though, you know, he already lost. He already tried to come back like 4 years ago, and that didn't work out. But he's, you know, those people are so power fucking hungry that they'll never give up.
Swamp creature.
And if he's not like convicted, like officially, because like I said, he appealed, so he can still run. And if he, you know, if he loses again, then he's fucked. Yeah, he's toast. He can't really. But I mean, it's hard to feel bad for him. He's probably got three houses, and
right.
I don't care really what happens to him. And that's probably the general feeling in France. Is like everybody knew. I mean, we all knew he's a fucking crook, and then. He's still got, it's like, you know, a singer with fans. He's still going to have, like, you know, followers. Like, there's still people that defend Marilyn Manson, even though he was outed as a horrible person, like, a few months ago.
He might not be doing arenas anymore, but he can fill theaters, right?
Yeah, and the comments and the comments on YouTube are always going to be 50-50. Like, he didn't do it. He did do it. Like, that's always, so this guy, he's always going to have, like, and Sarkozy's the same thing. Like, yeah, he's always going to have people that are going to be like, they've been really hard on him.
Yeah.
Right. And so what we learned. Yeah. I was just
the first time that, yeah. It's the first time that a politician like gets such a sentence, but then again, he appealed. So it's not really happening. So it's just the news that's kind of sexy, you know?
There's nothing actually taking place.
Yeah. What's really going to happen is fucking nothing. Maybe at the very worst, he won't be allowed to, you know, run for anything anymore, but he's like 66, right? So it doesn't really matter. And he's already been president. But once you have been president, it's probably similar in the US, but the way you make the money after when you're out of office is you just give conventions for like, I don't know, 30 grand an hour.
Yeah, speaking fees. Yep.
It's like 500 grand an hour.
I think Obama depends who you are.
Obama, yeah, sure. Bill Clinton used to do it for years.
They all do it.
Yeah. So he's well off with that alone. So
yeah.
Anything else is just his ego and his, you know, he just wants to run shit, I guess.
But and, his fans probably, I mean, they might even like him more, like what you're saying, because they think he got a raw deal. So he might, if he does get to run in 2022, have a better chance in a weird way.
Worries me is that they're not the only people who think he got a raw deal. Like people on the other sides are like, wait, is this going to happen to us too? And so they're all like, oh, come on. They're trying to take him down and shit. But probably, I mean, Sanders probably been like taken by someone who really hates Sarkozy, obviously. But yeah,
I mean, that's the reason why it's the same thing in the U.S., why presidents don't get arrested, why presidents don't go to prison. They've all so basically we should say clearly what he's convicted of in this one is that I think you said it earlier, but he was trying to get information on one of the investigations being done about him for whether the Gaddafi thing or something else. He was trying to get investigated.
And he offered a judge a job.
It's like meta.
So he spoke to a judge and said, I will give you a post in Monaco if you give me information about what's going on. And just so happened, the police were wiretapping him at the time, heard that, and now that's the charge. That's the corruption charge that he's being convicted of.
Yep.
This is something like presidents in the U.S. don't go to prison either, because the minute one of them goes to prison, well, then they're all going to prison because they've all done something.
No,
right?
So they're all so ethical. They would never do anything. That's why they've never gone to prison.
So is it the same? It sounds like it's the same fear right now going through French politics.
Well, I mean, when I say, oh, he's not going to jail, nothing's going to happen. Maybe because I'm calm enough, like the two impeachment trials that you had with Trump, where it was obvious. I was almost like, why would you even cover that shit? Nothing's going to happen. You know?
I agree. I didn't watch him because it was like, this is, it's theater. Nothing's going to come of it.
It's the intention is, I mean, I guess if you can try to impeach him, you should. But no one ever really believed that he could be impeached, right? It's more like a press. It's for the looks, like for the Wikipedia page.
I mean, here's the thing is that Trump was going out of office. This was the last thing that CNN, Fox News, CNBC could get ratings.
Yeah. That's true.
Trump is what people watch on TV. So they needed people to keep watching. That was it.
Yeah. And the whole thing, like, because I remember watching like Colbert and all these guys, and they were like,
there's another person that needs Trump.
It seemed, and it seemed like he really believed that it was possible
he didn't.
That he was not going to go. These people get away with everything.
Colbert didn't believe it. Colbert equally needed the ratings. He needed people to believe that he believed it.
That's true. Who's going to watch him now?
I don't even know who has.
I don't know. Maybe you're trying to. If you're in New York, you might want to try to get a job.
Please.
No, they don't want us.
They don't want us. Long time ago. No, we go on the road. I go to do comedy. That's clubs. Great. I'm fine. Yeah.
Let's do.
I don't need Colbert.
Wouldn't even take him as a guest in this pod if he wanted to be.
If he wants to come on our show, we'll have him. But we're not
going to have him on the Patreon show. We're not having him on.
We're not going to his turf. So does it? Because I just did a quick Google just to be like, all right, Macron corruption. That's what I Googled an hour or two before the show. And boom, there's some guy from 2019 who worked for Macron, his name.
The Bonella affair, it's called, right?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
And Macron's now like protecting him a little bit, or saying, I'm not going to fire him until all the facts come out. But basically just point being that every single presidential politician cabinet has some kind of something.
Well, you know, most people I've seen win in life have cheated in one way or another. I mean,
sure.
And I've seen it even in like my business where it's like, you know, apparently,
joke stealing.
Yeah. For example, not limited to, but I guess being a sociopath, you know, kind of gets you around sometimes.
Can I ask you about this? What was the man? I forget his name, but the super famous French guy.
Gad.
Took all those jokes from Seinfeld.
Yeah.
And then
and they're friends, too. That's weird.
That's what's so bizarre is that Seinfeld kind of introduced him to America, like kind of put him on a TV show, his Comedians in Cars show.
They're still hanging out.
What's going on with that? Why would you be friends with the guy who stole all your jokes?
Maybe because they're in the same income bracket and that's more important. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, we're both rich. Fuck it. Like, you know,
who cares?
Or maybe like Seinfeld really like condescends to France. Like, they don't know, they're stupid, you know, they're gonna steal my shit because they don't understand comedy. So he's nice. I met him, he was really cool. He was really nice to me.
Steal any of your jokes?
No, but he's not the only one doing that shit, you know. France, it's more like a theater culture. So it's, you know, theater is like the guy who writes it and the guy who says it, and it's very like, it's in the, you know, France's you know, French culture's bones, like that, this idea that it doesn't really matter who wrote that shit, mm. who came up with it. And like, if like I was saying, like once you get a tight 5 minutes and people jump on you because they think they can make money off of you, they're like, you should do an hour now. And you're like, I can't write that shit like right now. Yeah. And they're like, well, you can hire, and then you can hire like four people to write that shit. And it doesn't matter. And if I say I have a problem with it, I'm the asshole. You know what I mean? That's how it works.
Oh, so they just think like, no, come on, just hire people. We'll do it next month.
Yeah. And the stealing thing, it's like, he got caught in this video and there's, yeah. there was a little like scandal, but not really. I mean, the general population doesn't really give a fuck. So,
sure.
That's kind of sad. And I haven't seen him since he got outed as a coke thief. I'll still talk to him because he's like a super famous guy. I've seen him on TV. I don't know, the first time I was probably like 11. Like he's like in, you know, the French like collective unconscious.
Yeah.
So that's still interesting to talk to him. Just to talk to him, you know. But yeah, I feel no compassion towards what he had to go through because it wasn't much.
Was it so in America it didn't seem to stick much with him either, only because he was already so niche of a person.
Yeah, he's not famous enough.
This guy you barely heard of stole jokes from Seinfeld. You're like, okay, if you're outside of the comedy community, you just be like, all right, I guess. And then forget.
Yeah, he's just not famous enough to be newsworthy. Yeah. And
didn't make a big deal.
No, what sucks for me is that if I want to travel to the US to do comedy now and I say, oh, I'm French, people are gonna be like, oh, you're gonna steal my jokes.
No, I don't think that's the case. Even in the comedy community, I don't think, you know, like Weary Nietzsche, our friend who's connected us with you.
Oh yeah, yeah.
He comes to the US all the time. People I don't think that's a thing.
That's true.
But people will ask you about Gad, just like I did. They'll be like, so what's up with that guy?
Well, what I have to say is he was nice to me, but I obviously do not support what he did and how he reacted when he got caught, which was like super like asshole-ish. Like,
how did he react? We didn't even hear that part.
He put on a fucking wig because he does characters too.
Cancel him for the characters.
he put on a wig on YouTube. Because it's one of his really popular characters, who's like a prostitute, I guess, and he put on a wig and
he what's like the deal,
and he said the shit he was gonna say without the wig.
He just started doing like, Seinfeld jokes
in a prostitute outfit.
He basically put on a wig and did the character, but by just and saying, "I've been in the gang for 25 years, so go fuck yourself." That was his. His initial reaction was this, and then when he saw that this shit was not really flying, he hired a consultant who usually works with like corrupt politicians.
Worked with Sarkozy.
Pretty much team. To design a like PR campaign to kind of get him back, and that worked out. And he was loved. There's a love hate relationship with that between that guy in France because he's super popular, but he's also like very like, you know, when you think about it, he's friends with Sarkozy, for example, like that kind of like, we're rich and fuck you and if you're not, it's your fault because you suck and
if I want to do comedy for the Libyan dictator, I'm gonna do comedy.
Then you know, there's been a bunch of videos that kind of got semi-viral, but for the most part, no one really cares. Before COVID, he had a tour plan and, you know, it was going to be fine. Okay. He's also an actor. He does a lot of shit. He's like a famous French person. And comedy does not matter as much. Stand-up comedy as it is does not really matter as much in France. It's just a cool thing that people like. But if somebody steals jokes, it's not like US or Canada or the UK where it's like the biggest crime, you know, sadly. I wish
it can like end people's careers in the US. But it has to be a certain type of person. I mean, there's still like the cool crowd, and if they steal jokes, no one says anything, you know. But if you're if you're like a road comic, or if you're, I mean, frankly, basically Carlos Mencia, like those type of people that no one likes them anyway, then it's gonna like come down on your hard. But if you're a likable person, there's people who can get away with it a little bit. But for the
you're pretty likable, Turner, so you know.
That's all I do is steal jokes.
Stole Joe Schaefer's whole act, you know.
So I mean, what sucks is It sent the message to young comics that it was kind of okay to do that. And,
that's what I was going to ask. When your number one comedian is doing like our best comedians don't do it. And it would be pretty obvious if they did. But and also it's hard to call out the most powerful person in your industry, you know?
Yeah, it is. But and I'm not really like, I don't know. Hopefully he'll never see this.
No,
he's a big, he's our Patreon. His codename is Sam Michael.
You said you like him. It sounds
he's a nice dude, but you know, when you've been like super famous, he's basically super famous anywhere but the US, you know what I mean? So
yeah, wow.
It's like, I don't even know how your brain operates when you're at this level, you know? So
yeah.
And I'm still curious to talk to him you know, yeah, it made everybody kind of, you know, and I heard a lot of people in green rooms going like, that's fine, who gives a shit? Like, yeah. It really just wasn't a big deal. And that kind of like got to me a little bit, like, should I leave France? Like,
yeah, that's the
cool. Do I really want to be somewhere that, well, I mean, you know, it kind of hurt my feelings a little bit that people wouldn't care as much. But
yeah, I always liked Robin Williams' move where they said he would steal people's jokes, but like, and then come off stage and immediately pay them.
Which is fine. And I mean, this is a business that exists where you can
do
that.
Yeah, he'd be like, I'm so sorry. I was just riffing and your joke came into my head. So I said it. So here's $500. And they'd be like,
I think that's fair. I think that's legit.
Yeah. That's why no one ever really he had a history as a joke thief, but also everyone liked him and he was supposed to be like the nicest guy. And no one really ever held him to much because he would just be like, here's some money. I apologize. I won't do it again. And then like a week later, he'd do it again.
Yeah. And also he was not just a comic. He was also in like, you know, huge movies and shit. So, and that's similar to Gad. Like he's still going to be popular just on that. Like he's like a movie star too. So that's not going away. So that's it.
So can I ask I genuinely, like I said, at the beginning of this, did not know the difference between Macron and Sarkozy. What are Macron's policies?
That was funny. It's fun that you would say that because that's been my feeling also, and no one really agrees with me in France that they're very similar. He's
a little younger,
like,
right?
And I used to say like a year ago, I would have told you like Macron was just a less racist version, and now the shit he's doing with the police and shit, I'm like, oh, so he's even worse.
What is he doing with the police?
I mean, politically, he started out on the left, and Sarkozy started out on the right. But as I was researching for this, I'm like, a lot of his policies sound pretty similar.
Yeah. I guess it's a lot of it is in the, you know, the semantics and the way you talk. I think they're very similar, but Sarkozy was more aggressive in this, you know, way to campaign and act. And Macron is more really, he's like, the equivalent of a French Wall Street dude. You know what I mean? Like he knows how to communicate better. A little bit better, not that much, and I voted for him personally because I hadn't realized. I really thought he was a leftist who was like pro, you know, a progressive guy. Yeah. He really sold this shit to my generation and the Gen Z people, and a lot of people are like, you know, pretty upset right now.
And if they
married an old woman, which is
based off of what? What's I know the last time we talked to Wary on this show. A few months ago, it was based around that the Islam thing or the Islamic extremists.
It's the same thing. It's really the same thing where in the U.S. when you have an election coming, the subject of like immigration and Mexicans. Well, we have the same thing, but with mostly North African people,
North
Africans,
just Africans in general. Immigrants in general. I mean, not limited to Africa. And that's usually the main topic that they use to divide people when an election is coming up. You know, that's pretty classic. I think every country does that shit. And he knows that he might lose because his policies during COVID are fucking disastrous.
Doing? What have been his main policies?
Just incompetence, just complete incompetence, which is, you know, some of
France did a good job over here. We thought you guys.
Some of it is forgivable and some of it's not, you know, and. He might lose. So and he might lose against the far right candidate, Marine Le Pen, which is
Okay.
Which is a real nationalist party, as we discussed last time.
Yeah. So what he's trying to do now is get some of these voters for himself by also going, you know, into the topics that she goes into.
He's trying to get the far right voters to vote for him.
Yeah, exactly. Which it's not the, he's not the first guy to do that.
Nationalist voters who are maybe more sympathetic to
economic who aren't that angry about it, and that's you know I've seen it happen in all different countries. This usually and then with different like different French presidents, they've pretty much all tried to do that. Like once an election is showing up, it's coming up, they're like, all right, let's talk about immigration now, but nicer terms, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know. A lot of it is just designed in offices with PR people, and it's hard to, you know, not find any of it.
It's interesting. Like historically in the U.S., all these candidates would start out on the far end, or not far ends, but start off on the left or the right, and then move towards the middle. Yeah. And the only one who didn't do that was Trump. He like doubled down on his far right base
because he was not a politician. He was probably more like a con artist and a business guy. So he didn't give a fuck. I mean, he was friends with Hillary before.
He won.
He was for gay marriage and then against.
Yeah.
I mean, he himself doesn't believe his own bullshit. That's that kind of thing.
In
France, is there a center right? Like person who could be in 2022 as well, or is it just between Le Pen and
Sarkozy
and Macron? Would it be Sarkozy or is there someone else?
It could be a version of Sarkozy. What my guess would be like the prime minister we had a prime minister last year during like the outbreak of COVID who later quit, but he still loved. And I think if he runs, he might win. His name is Edouard Philippe. And he's like center right kind of, and that's what most of the country is, honestly. So might win.
Who was the prime minister who was also convicted of something recently though? That was wasn't there a prime minister?
Oh yeah, well that was
sexual assault. Right?
Was it sexual assault?
But that's not the prime minister. It's like a ministry of like interior or defense, or whatever.
Oh, ministry. Okay.
But he did not get convicted. He's still up and running, and probably
let's see, Francois Fillon.
Oh, that guy. Okay. Well, that's just like regular old like corruption.
Because
he put his wife on a payroll for nothing or for a lot of money. Like some weird shit. I mean,
that was Sarkozy's guy.
Yeah. Okay. No, because he said, right. Everybody puts their wife on the payroll in America. That's the top thing to do.
What I found interesting is that so many of these things are just such common practices in the United States.
I'm sure if anyone listening is from the U.S. or any other country, it probably sounds really familiar.
Like if you want to get people, that's I think where we're sitting at. It's like, is it that these people are super corrupt, or is it that if you want to get your enemies, these are some basic things? Obviously, taking money from Gaddafi is one thing, but like some of these other things are just more common.
Like
promising
a post in Monaco to a judge. Every single president in the United States, it's legal. They give their donors
ambassadorships.
They make them ambassadors around the world.
It's a big ones. Yeah, so that's a classic.
And so I saw them like these are all legal things.
I mean, Obama did
it.
Biden's doing it now. Obviously, Trump did it. They all do it. So yeah, that's the type of thing that we do. I mean, obviously,
they seem to get away with everything. I mean, do you remember Dominique Strauss-Kahn? Is that ringing a bell at all?
Which one?
Oh yes, the guy who the sexual assault.
Yeah,
there's a movie. Yeah, that was the original Me Too, Turner.
What was it?
Yeah, it was like 2011. And
he like assaulted his cleaning person or something, right? In New York. And he said he was entrapped.
What's the name again? Who are we talking about?
Dominique Strauss-Kahn.
Okay.
Sounds better when you say it.
And it's pretty clear. I mean, he was like the original Harvey Weinstein, I guess.
That's what he was. He was the original Weinstein.
I don't know. Maybe not as much, but basically. Like, I don't know if it's just France, but he pretty much got away with all of it.
Isn't he still works for the World Bank, or is he still
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he still has a job and, you know.
Yeah.
I find out who he was? Was he a French movie producer or something?
No.
He was in the government.
No, he was like a, what's the, because we call it FMI, which is Fonds Monetaire International.
Like the financial.
International Monetary Fund. IMF,
International Monetary Fund. Yeah,
and he was the boss of that, He was
the former minister of economy in France, and
he was about to run for president, and he probably would have won if not for this case. So it prompted his supporters to go, oh, maybe he was set up, so he would lose. But it was
I was gonna say, in where I worked in Tribeca in New York, his apartment was around the corner. He had this crazy apartment.
Yeah, he lived in New York,
and all the French press was outside because he claimed, Turner, that the basically he made a pass at like a, was it a cleaning person or someone in New York, and he claimed that his opponent set him up by like they know like his defense is that he's such a like sexual person, even though he's married, that like they know they like sent a woman in basically to entrap him, and of course he had a hit on her, right? Isn't that basically what he did? And then some of people bought this.
No, he
nonsense.
Didn't hit on her. He tried to have sex with her.
Well, yeah, but he says he just hit on her, and it was. But yeah, he basically tried to force himself on her. But he was saying like, "Oh, they knew I would act that way, so it was entrapment." Like,
which is a weird defense, let's be honest. Yes. Like, you knew it.
You know I'm a.
You put this woman in front of me, so I would like sexually
like an animal.
Her.
It's like it's I can't fault. Resist a woman if you put her in front of me, like a dog with meat or something.
And he was known as that kind of guy for years, and. And there's a like the most famous like news presenter in France just got outed for being a like that kind of person too, and everybody knew. It's always the same story, dude. It really is.
It's the same in the US. Everyone.
I mean, we saw Gerard Depardieu just got arrested, right, in France. Speaking of,
That's another case, but I don't think they have a lot of it against him. But yeah, I haven't really I've really been following this one. He's just like a folklore like drunk.
Yeah, he's a legendary crazy. I met him once many years ago, but
oh, you did?
I did. Yeah, he's. But I mean, France has that reputation of being like we saw. You just lowered your age of consent, or you just have an age of consent finally, right? Like you never even had one. Was that like they established it at 15? I believe.
Yeah.
It's kind of like you become a. Is there a movement in France to sort of take this stuff more seriously now? Is that where it's going or?
Well, you have to start by saying that in the 70s, there was a movement in France going for the opposite, for the, right. I can fuck a 12-year-old, it is fine. And,
right, Roman Polanski famously moved there after we tried to arrest
him. Yeah, and Woody Allen likes France too, and, Louis C.K.
I mean, your movies, your French movies are, it's because of your movies are too good. And they're always younger women, and it gets in our brains, these Americans. We want to be like you. We want to be like French filmmakers.
It really sucks because it's like basically the same shit that's happening that you would hear about in the U.S., but it's just treated differently in the media. And yeah, it feels like Me Too barely happened in France and probably other parts of Europe.
So the media covers it more.
Here's what's crazy to me is your president, your current president got Me Too'd.
It's true.
That's true.
His wife was his teacher.
His wife
right?
was his school teacher.
Yeah, and I guess if you stay with her,
it's not an issue.
Right. It's like a bad plot of a French movie actually happened, and then it's like a.
Yeah, it's kind of fucked up. I mean, I used to be before I did comedy, I was in like trying to break into the music industry, and then and I saw a lot of horrible shit. And a horrible behavior. And what I can gather at this point is that most of these people are protected. And it's in France, it's like, there's always going to be a culture of like, but what if maybe that's okay? You know, like,
yeah,
she was 14, but yeah,
but and,
I guess we're gross. I guess France is a gross country.
Good job, Kaplan. You broke him down.
I broke him down. I had to get that on. Yeah, that's a revenge for the freedom fries. Your guys are gross.
Some people get outed in the media and even in comedy, and nobody cares. You know, like Chris D'Elia is probably going to come to France very soon.
Yeah,
that would be great if all of our people go to France. All the French, all the American, everyone is getting Me Too'd here to start the whole industry.
You have a great
comedy.
Yeah,
his
scene.
Level of Me Too.
Yeah,
I think his level of Me Too would be like, who gives a shit? Like, it's not like, right. Bill Cosby is one thing.
Right. Bill Cosby. Cuomo's going to be your next president. He's coming over.
Oh, yeah. He's got some shit too, right?
His stuff is so minor, you would laugh at it compared to.
I mean, can I read? I know that by going on record with this, the facts could all change tomorrow.
Right. You're opening up to yourself.
I look like I'm defending a rapist, but. This is I was watching CNN last night, and this is what that quote was. It said the person alleging against Governor Cuomo said he asked her if she had a boyfriend. He called her sweetheart. He touched her on her lower back at a reception and once kissed her hand while she stood up from her desk.
That's every famous comic I've ever heard.
So I should say there might be more coming out later. I'm not defending.
Yeah, because that's not much. That's not.
We might
much.
Have to delete that's, this whole episode now or
that's
edit
a specific
it.
One, that's not much. We should probably wrap this up pretty soon.
Is there anything more we have to say about Sarkozy? I might know some shit about. If you have any questions, maybe I can.
About what? About his Me Too stuff? No.
No. I mean, if you had any other question about Sarkozy over the case.
I guess the question is, was it legal, that wiretap? Because it seems the government was wiretapping a man talking to his own lawyer.
You're right.
Which,
yeah.
In America, which would not... is illegal. I don't think you can wiretap.
I've learned from every mob movie that you could call your lawyer and you get privilege. Or
I think it's still like why people try to defend him. Like it might have not been completely legal. I think it is legal because otherwise he would not.
Yeah, you're right. It went through, so it must be legal. So if you had to put a percentage on this, what percentage of this whole thing against Sarkozy is his enemies just wanting to find anything about him? And what percent is like he's actually a scumbag, guilty? And they could both be 100%, by the way.
That's a good question, because I think it's both 100%. I mean, it's definitely a case that's being pursued by people who really hate him.
Yeah.
Really want to take him down with this like an endless amount of stuff that you can take him down for. So it's not that hard.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think it's both, I think. and that's used as an argument, to defend him. Like, it's clearly done by people who hate him. And yeah, sure. But
sometimes
he fucked up a lot.
Both arguments can be true, right? Yeah. This is something that happens in the U.S. all the time. Like, either you're for this or against that. It's like, well, no, you can say he's a complete dirtbag and those people are, I don't know if overreaching is the word, but just going after
him. He's obviously, there's an election coming up. And he might be a potential candidate that could potentially get some support. Maybe they're trying to take him down, and that's not a bad theory. But then again, he there's really an endless amount of shit against him from like the 90s. So it's just really not that hard.
Was he, when he left office because he lost an election, was he considered like, was he fairly popular still? Like, what? Because the idea that he could even come back before this seems, well, usually when you lose in America, you're done.
I think, you know the way that people miss George Bush now? Like,
right, he
Trump
seems better
in
hindsight. Yes. He's not, yeah.
And so I think when he lost in 2012, people were like, even his supporters were like, well, you got us to lose, so fuck you, you know?
Right.
And which happened with Marine Le Pen in 2017. She lost and she was terrible at the debate as well. But then now she's going to come back and she might win. Who knows, you know? Yeah. So I guess it's, I don't know if people forget or if they kind of miss the guy, you know, like.
Right. He doesn't seem as bad compared to Le Pen, maybe, to some people. He's not as far right or, yeah.
Which is true also. And and it's different, like cultural, like if you're voting for the far right, you probably don't come from the same like social category or social like microcosm than if you were voting for the center. It's, you know, like my grandmother's super racist, right? But she would never vote for the far right party. You know what I mean? Like, it's because it's for, to her, it's like disgusting. Like,
it's like lower class.
Gross.
Yeah.
Right.
The people who vote for them. And like, it's like also post Nazis too, like, you know, like the far right in France were, you know, connected to Nazis during the war. I mean, that's where it originated.
Right. So it's like a French. Yeah. I mean, then if you care about France's history, to be a Nazi is kind of contradictory.
And so, and if you're still racist, like if you still hate like African people, for example, and you don't want to vote for the far right, well, then you got, you know, a few candidates from like the, you know, left, right, who might speak to you. You might have a guy left, center left, but maybe he starts to talk about like Islam a little bit, and you're like, yeah, maybe I'm a little worried about Islam.
And you have, as we talked about last time, you have issues where there's conflicts with this rising Muslim population and a lot of
because it's good for press to talk about and it divides people the way that media likes to divide people. So now if you're on the right, your algorithm is gonna like give you a lot of shit to get mad about. Like, look at this, you know, progressive. I mean, you know how it works, right?
It's all about the algorithm.
Well, yeah. I'm on the Jewish algorithm, so I get all the news about that stuff. So anyway, in France.
That's the episode, guys. We got to end it here. Adrian, thanks so much for doing it, man. And
sorry for like rambling or saying stupid shit.
This was great. I love that you had a cigarette in your hand the whole time. It gave us a very French feel.
You should have had next time a beret, but no.
And we'll check back in a few months when Sarkozy starts bringing down everyone around him, including all of his opponents. And that'll be a bigger scandal. So thanks so much, Adrian Kaplan. That's it. What should we do?
Get lost.
Get lost.
Au revoir.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.